And with that, we are at 2 o'clock. It is time for the public hearing and our open forum. So just a note, the public hearing, that is the time for you to speak to any finalizations. We only have one item that we will finalize today. That's Bear Butte public use restriction. That is our only finalization. If you would like to speak to any other item, that will happen during the open forum, which follows this public hearing. With that, we will throw it over to our staff attorney, Nick Michaels, who will take the mic from here.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As the Chair said, we are limiting testimony right now to the finalization of the Bear Butte rule change. So is there anyone present here in person who wishes to address the Commission on that rule change? Seeing no one in person, is there anyone present online who wishes to address the Commission? If so, please click the button raising your hand. And we have no one who wishes to address the Commission on that online either, Madam Chair. So with that, I believe we can end the public hearing portion.
Very good. So that will wrap up our public hearing portion of the meeting. We'll now go to open forum. Again, this is the time if there are any items on today's agenda or other items that you'd like to talk about, this is the time to do that as well. And Nick will explain the guidelines for the open forum.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As a reminder to our public, you are given 3 minutes in which to address the Commission about whatever topic it is you wish. I will be keeping track of that time, at which point I will let you know when 3 minutes has run up and you need to wrap up your comments. We'll start first with those who have signed in and let us know ahead of time. We'll begin with Mark Oslin.
Welcome.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Commissioners, and Secretary Robley. Just a couple things.
If we could just have you introduce yourself for us, too.
Mark Oslin. I live in Black Hawk, western South Dakota. Lived out there for 4 years and loved the state of South Dakota. Prior to that, I lived in Alaska for 35 years. Always been concerned about wildlife, been a waterfowl hunter for 55 years, and try to get involved in issues. And the issue I want to get involved with today is the pintail limit, number one. I think it's a drastic change to go from one pintail to three, given the last count was the third lowest pintail count in the history of counting pintails. So the numbers are still real low. I don't understand why we're increasing the bag limit on that. So I object to that. And my big one is the snow goose hunting. I understand why the conservation season was started. But there comes a point when things must end, and you know, it probably peaked out in 2005, 2007 at maybe 20 million birds. We don't know for sure. About 10 years ago, it went down to about 12 million, and at the last count in 22, it was at 4.7. And I believe the objective is 5 million. So in 2022, we were below the 5 million mark. And for the last 10 years, the population's been decreasing at the rate of 15%. So if we look at that, you know, you look at the season for 2023, we probably lost another 700,000 birds. So we're close to 4 million. We're down a million from the desired 5 million. And then you take another season where I guess it would be around 660,000 birds were taken out, taking it at 15%. We're down at about 3.7 million. So we're 1.3 million below the objective. And what we're doing right now is uncontrolled hunting on these birds. And I believe there needs to be a drastic change, and we need to start practicing conservation. And South Dakota would be a great place to start. I know they're federal.
Sir, you have reached your 3 minutes.
I guess that's about it.
Thank you, Mark.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very good.
Appreciate it.
And when you come up, if you could just introduce yourself and let us know if you're representing yourself or an organization. So,
okay.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
We'll next hear from Matt Tucker.
Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Roebling. Matt Tucker, I'm Director of Game, Fish, and Parks for the Rosebud Sioux Tribe. I'm also on the Mountain Lion stockholders meeting with Mr. Thiel. And the issue I want to talk about is the prairie elk season. So I'm here to express the strong opposition to the proposed prairie elk season within the boundaries of the Rosebud Indian Reservation and other Indian reservations in South Dakota. This proposal represents an infringement on sovereignty, indigenous rights, and disregards long-standing treaties between tribal nations and the federal government. Treaty lands help and hold deep cultural, spiritual, and historical significance for the Lakota people. It's essential for preserving cultural practices, sustaining traditional ways of life, including subsistence hunting that has been passed down through generations. Sorry, I'm just kind of skipping through here to save some time. While the states have important interests in regulating natural resources, the authority is shared with the federal government. When the federal government exercises treaty-making power, the 1968 Treaty of Fort Laramie explicitly defines these rights and must be honored. Article 2 defines the boundaries of the Sioux reservations and guarantees its exclusive rights to the Sioux and other tribes. Article 11 reserves the right to the Sioux to hunt on certain lands. 15 establishes the reservation as a permanent home to the Sioux with the right to hunt as specified. The treaties are the ultimate law of the land. These provisions guarantee indigenous rights to hunt and inhabit these lands without interference. Any attempt to implement a state-managed elk hunting season within these boundaries disregards the legal framework of these treaty obligations and undermines tribal sovereignty. I urge you to reconsider this proposal and instead engage in meaningful consultation with the tribal leaders and respected departments to reach agreements that respect the treaty rights, uphold tribal sovereignty, and foster cooperative wildlife management practices. We currently manage our elk herds. Each reservation, we give out, I think, 70 antlerless tags are set for this year.
You have reached your 3 minutes, sir.
And 8 trophy elk tags. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Tucker.
Okay, we'll next hear from Chalmer, and I'm sorry, I can't read the last name. Kamelik.
Welcome.
Thank you for giving me the chance to speak. Washichi Chalmer Kambelik, Imachia Pelo. My name is Chalmer Kambelik. I'm a wildlife biologist for the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe. I'm a descendant of Mato Gleshka. His camp was right over here, right up above the dam where they built the dam. Some of my ancestors were here when Lewis and Clark came through. So my ties to this landscape predate the existence of the state of South Dakota. But Hehaka Oyate na Lakota Oyate Takuki Chapelo, the Elk Nation and the Lakota Nation were relatives. So on the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, we have a re-establishing elk population. We have not implemented a hunting season on them yet. We acknowledge that the boundaries of the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, they do not, the lands of the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, they do not belong to the state of South Dakota. And on the new map that the WRA Prairie Elk season, it does not define tribal lands from the state. It doesn't define our boundaries. It kind of just puts it all the same color as the state of South Dakota when the state of South Dakota has never actually had jurisdiction over these lands. Just like Matt said, the 1868-1851 treaties that were signed in Fort Laramie. I'm a descendant of one of the treaty signers of the 1868 treaty, Chaitanji Yellowhawk. The Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, we passed a resolution through our council. I could possibly email it to somebody if you wanted a physical copy, but I can just read you the subject matter. That the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribal Council does hereby thoroughly object to the change proposed by the South Dakota Game Fish Parks Commission and reaffirms its jurisdiction over the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe lands and wildlife within the reservation boundaries and reasserts its jurisdiction and ability to manage hunting and fishing within its reservation boundary and contains provision. So our tribal council objects to opening a prairie elk season within the boundary of the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe. We also don't see any management objectives from the state on the prairie elk as of now. At one time, the elk were the most widespread hoofed animal in North America. They are not currently at historic ecological levels, but they are recovering. And the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, we've been documenting and monitoring our population that mostly exists on our tribal trust lands within our boundaries. So with that, I'd just like to say Pilama Yalo, thank you for letting me speak. I guess I can end with that.
Very thank good. You. Thank you for being here, sir.
We'll next hear from Ben Janis.
Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Ben Janice. I'm an enrolled member of the Lower Bruce Sioux Tribe, and I'm the Wildlife, Fish, and Recreation Manager, and have been for 33 years. As a manager, I'd like to go on record stating that the Lower Bruce Sioux Tribe Wildlife, Fish, and Recreation Department is against South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks 225 prairie elk season as proposed. We do not want South Dakota issued elk licensed hunters to hunt non-trust land within the exterior boundaries of our reservation. The Lower Bruce Sioux Tribal Council has passed a resolution opposing the 225 prairie elk season proposal, and I'll get that to you as soon as possible. We feel that the current prairie elk season is manageable. We have not had any issues with the season as it presently is. We oppose the 225 elk season proposal because we are in a unique position. We know that the elk on the Lower Bruce Sioux Tribal Nation are our elk. We introduced the elk in the late 70s. We got them from Wind Cave. So we had approximately 100 elk on the 3,000 acre unit, which was fenced with 8-foot woven wire. And we had some escape, probably most lumber 2 years ago, the big winter storm. As such, it has only been this year that elk have been an issue for one non-Indian landowner on the reservation. That landowner has not contacted me to complain that there was even an elk issue. I only heard that he had an elk issue from the commission's minutes. If he had contacted me, I would have worked with him to come up with some form of remedy. We currently have a draft depredation mitigation plan that we'll finalize soon. We have been managing our elk herd outside of our 3,000-acre big game unit by issuing elk tags to tribal members and non-members for the last 4 years, and will continue to do so as to keep the herd to manageable numbers. We'll also continue to try and round them up when conditions are favorable. To date, we have gathered probably 8 back into the big game yet. They're a tough roundup. So as you can see, we're managing our elk on our reservation. Again, the Lower Bushu Tribe opposes the 225 prairie elk hunting season. Thank you for your time and consideration. Peace be with you.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for letting me speak.
We'll next hear from Isaac Johnson.
Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you, Madam Secretary, Commissioners. My name is Isaac Johnson, and I am one of 3 biologists that work for the Lower Brule Department of Wildlife, Fish, and Recreation. Thank you for this opportunity to present before you today. I speak on behalf of the Lower Brule Department of Wildlife, Fish, and Recreation to oppose the proposed elk unit expansion onto deeded lands within the Lower Brule Reservation external boundary. Historically, elk were native to the Lower Brule Sioux Reservation and were prevalent throughout the state of South Dakota. Rocky Mountain elk were reintroduced to Lower Brule in the 1970s and placed in a high fence north of town of the town of Lower Brule. The high fence we call the big game unit is approximately 3,000 acres and contains both elk and buffalo. Elk were reintroduced to provide another support system for food sovereignty, as well as increased hunting opportunity for both tribal members and non-tribal members. Since their arrival to Lower Brule, some elk have escaped periodically. In recent years, escaped elk have become established within the reservation to the point where our department was able to justify opening a hunting season to them. In 2020, our department issued the first free-ranging elk tags to tribal members. This would be the first opportunity that tribal members had to harvest free-ranging elk on the reservation for over 150 years. Elk populations within Lower Brule Reservation boundary have been monitored since their first since they were first reintroduced. Survey efforts consist of counts from both fixed-wing aircraft and on-the-ground corrections. During the aerial surveys, the entire reservation is flown to count big game populations. The reservation is divided into 6 units, and for each unit, transects spaced at a half-mile intervals are flown. On-the-ground corrections are made to in areas where cover is too thick for aerial detections. Elk tag allocations are made on an annual basis to keep elk populations both inside the high fence as well as free-ranging elk within the Lower Brule Reservation boundary in check. Ever since 2020, we have issued free-ranging elk tags to both tribal and non-tribal members in order to manage the Lower Brule elk population. Therefore, the state's proposal to issue tags within the Lower Brule Reservation boundary would negatively impact our current management of
these elk. You have reached 3 minutes, sir.
Again, I would like to thank you all for this opportunity to meet with you. I'm looking forward to working with you in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
We'll next hear from Dalton Grassel.
Welcome.
Thank you. Hello. My name is Dalton Grassel. I'm one of the 3 conservation officers for the Lower Brule Sioux Tribe. I'm an enrolled member. I live and ranch on the reservation. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to address you today. I'm here to express opposition to the proposed West River Elk Unit on behalf of the Lord Burrell Sioux Tribe. Within our boundaries, 73% of our land is under tribal jurisdiction, solely tribal jurisdiction. The remaining 27% is scattered throughout the reservation, mostly along the southern border. The proposed changes would include all non-Indian-owned lands within our boundaries. While they would all be included, it's a very small percentage of those lands that hold elk with any consistency. Several of the non-Indian-owned pieces that harbor the most elk are entirely landlocked by tribal lands and are not accessible by road or any public right-of-way. In fact, these pieces have the largest presence of elk of any non-Indian-owned land within the reservation. So it raises concern for the potential for conflict between state-licensed hunters and tribally-licensed hunters, tribal members, our tribal land operators, and law enforcement. The laws pertaining to jurisdiction, hunting, fishing, and trespass within Indian country are infamously complicated, and hunters cannot be reasonably expected to fully understand them. That being said, a hunter's incomplete understanding of the laws within Indian country does not exempt him or her from them. And state-licensed elk hunters attempting to access or hunt these pieces put themselves in a delicate situation. Violations are often federal, and the penalties severe. Jurisdiction is dependent on the individual's tribal enrollment status, the ownership type of the ground the individual is currently on, and the ownership type of the ground the offense was committed on. And in these situations, that's often very fluid, which complicates things for the conservation officer responding, whether that be tribal or South Dakota Game Fish and Parks. Often state hunters believe because the tribe does not have criminal jurisdiction over non-Indians that they are immune to consequence, an assumption that when proved incorrect is expensive and a hard lesson learned for that individual. This proposal would result in more of these situations than we already have. Our tribal season occurs concurrently with a proposed state season, and conflict between hunters chasing the same animals, licensed by different entities, and subject to different sets of laws and regulations are inevitable. Tribal operators and landowners already have run-ins with state-licensed hunters who are either ignorant to or unconcerned with the land status
of the ground. You have 3 minutes, sir.
Based on my experience, I think it's just going to increase that. So thank you for your time.
Thank you for being here.
We'll next hear from Tip Taylor.
Welcome.
Welcome. Tip Taylor, I'm a landowner inside the boundaries of the Lower Burrell Reservation. And I wasn't really prepared to speak. I was hoping Brad would go first. But I just concur that with Brad that I'm for this elk season, prairie elk season. That's really all I have.
Very good. Thank you for being here.
We'll next hear from Nancy Hilding. She's on. Okay. Can you?
Hi, can you hear me?
We can. Go ahead, Nancy.
Okay, I'm speaking for Prairie Hills Audubon Society, of which I am the president. And I want to say that we support the petition for rule change submitted by the Tom Riddle, asking to extend the cottontail season to jackrabbits and have a daily limit and a 10-day limit for jackrabbits due to concern about decreasing number of jackrabbits. So we support his petition. And I want to talk about the Nest Predator Bounty Program briefly. We had a bill in the legislature, 1262, to try to get the legislature to stop the Nest Predator Bounty Program. That was killed in a 4-5 vote in House Ag and Natural Resources. But I would like to point out to you, you have had this, after this year, you'll have had this for 7 years, that the the distribution of predators killed per acre is one. The whole program is too diffuse for this to work for effective predator control. So you stopped arguing for that, and you said it was for promoting trapping. Well, you've been bribing people to trap for, you know, by the end of this year, 7 years. Do we really need to keep this program, which is wasting at least $500,000 a year? And I've been told that we had to, you know, as long as Kristi Noem was governor, there was no hope of getting rid of the Nez Perce Bounty Program. And she's no longer governor. So if we had to have this program to humor Kristi Noem, she's gone. And so I hope you guys will be thinking about not having the Nez Perce Bounty Program in the last year of the previous Kristi Noem governorship, which is now gone. So I'm just asking you to work to get rid of the Nez Perce Bounty Program. We also, in May, we normally bring you a petition on a moratorium for beavers in the Black Hills. And we hope that we don't have to do that and that you guys will be thinking of having a moratorium on beaver trapping for a few years in the Black Hills to build the population back up. And then we're going to, how much time do I have?
20 seconds, Nancy.
Very briefly, we objected to the Mountain Lion Plan's goals for managing the prairie unit for mountain lion hunting with dogs. We have a conductivity concern when you have small disjunct populations.
Okay, you have reached 3 minutes.
All right, okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Yep.
We'll next hear from Julie Anderson, who I understand is also on the phone.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Julie.
Okay, my name's Julie Anderson, and I'm a resident of Rapid City. And I was going to comment on the mountain lion hunting amendment. And I guess I'm a little confused. Did you guys pass this amendment that was up at the beginning of the meeting? I'll wait for my answer, but that's my question. And if so, I did not think this was up for finalization. My other question would be, is Mr. Canta had said that in that particular proposal or amendment that it was going to be taken out national parks, Wind Cave and Mount Rushmore in the Badlands. So my other question would be, is can a mountain lion be killed in a national park if they get permission and the hunt is started off of national park land? And I guess my other question would be to relate that to bighorn sheep. Can a bighorn sheep be killed on a national park if the chase begins off of a national park? The other comment I would like to just say is with the bighorn sheep season, to kill a healthy ram before, quote, it succumbs to old age or disease and then promote it as a chance of a lifetime, in my view, is a very unethical and immoral act. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know the last constituent addressed some questions to the Commission, do you wish to address those?
I think what we'd like to do, we typically don't do Q&A back and forth during the open forum, and I'd rather not set a precedent and start that. But I think what we could do is jot down her questions and reply back with an email, as I know we do have her email. So, Julie, we will get back to you with some answers to your questions via email. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll next hear from Brad Tisdall.
Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you for having me. I guess I'm back at this again. I am Brad Tisdall, a president, past president of South Dakota Houndsman Association for about 12 years. Took a couple years off, and in the January Hounds meeting, they asked me if I would come back and become president again, and everybody in the room except for the one person, my beautiful wife, she stood there shaking her head, no, please don't do this again. So anyway, I am back, and I am here today to speak to you all. We are in support and approve this amendment to change the mountain lion season inside or outside the Black Hills Fire Protection District. You know, our organization is family-based. The board and all our current members are really working hard together to protect the great outdoor heritage that we have of hunting with the hounds. You know, and we do that with R3s in mind, recruitment, taking new people out. You know, in the Custer State Park, we're taking new people all the time. Out on some of the prairie hunts, we're taking new people to show them the positive side of hound hunting. In retention, you know, we continue to push forward to preserving tomorrow's heritage today. And in the retroactive, you know, using the Second Century Initiative, it's about family and introducing kids into the outdoors and saving this for the next generation. So this change would be helpful with human to stop any human and livestock conflicts that we have. So our members asked that the commission move this proposal forward to the public comment and finalization in April. And if you have any questions, I'll be here all day, or I would entertain any of them now, but I thank you for allowing me to speak.
Very good. Thank you for being here, Mr. Tisdall.
We'll next hear from Ben Dorman.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm Ben Dorman, Lyman County. I grew up in Lyman County. I'm a private landowner within the reservation there. I support the West River elk season. I guess that's all I had. I didn't know that this was going to be as deep as it is. So.
Very good. We appreciate you being here. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
We'll next hear from Brad Carlin.
Welcome.
My name's Brad Carlin from Reliance, South Dakota, deeded landowner within the Laura Brewer Reservation. I'm just here again today putting support to your proposed elk, West River elk license expansion of it. And me and some other farmers are here today to show our support.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commission.
We'll next hear from Tyler Frederick.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Senator Roebling. I just want to here to show our support for the proposal.
Could you just say your name real quick?
Tyler Frederick. I'm a private landowner on the Indian Reservation in Laura Brewer, South Dakota. And I just want to show our support to the proposal, and also would like to add, if this proposal passes, you know, we're going to be adding a large area of land, and so there might be a need to increase available licenses as well. But thanks a lot. Just wanted to show our support. Thank you.
Thank you, Tyler.
Is there anyone else present here in person who wishes to address the commission? Seeing no one, is there anyone present online who wishes to address the commission? If so, please hit the button raising your hand.
Hi, this is Mark Van Norman. I'm on the phone, and I did raise my hand.
Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, thank you. My name is Mark Van Norman, and I am on behalf of the Oglala Sioux Parks and Recreation Authority. And the Oglala Sioux Tribe has an MOU with State Game Fish and Parks on hunting on the reservation, and feels that the issuance of the elk season would be premature because there hasn't been consultation with the tribe. There should be a meeting set up with the tribe to discuss issues. Certainly the tribe has an interest in its elk herd, and the tribe also has an interest in safety of its people and the protection of its lands. And these items need to be addressed before there's issuance of an elk season that would impact the lands of the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. So we'd like to follow up with you and schedule a meeting to consult on these issues and discuss our memorandum of understanding.
Thank you. Is there anyone else present online who wishes to address the commission? If so, please hit the button raising your hand. Seeing no one else, I would hand things back over to you, Madam Chair.
Very good. Thank you to everybody who showed up, drove here, took time out of your day, your work to be with us today. We do appreciate it, as well as those that have joined us online as a commission. We take all of the comments very seriously, and so we will take all of those into effect as we make our decision. And with that, it is 2:38. We are going to take a short break. We will be back here at 2:50 p.m. Central Time. 2:50 p.m. Central Time. We will be at ease until then. Record.